is cooking.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of Eddie and His Amazing Friends Hero Cast, episode 202. And, hey, I said last week I wasn't sure, because as we'd next 2 weeks would be super busy for me, but here we are, joined by one of our favorite guests, super friend of the week, Simon is back, SGC Speaks on Twitter. Simon, how are you?
I am doing okay overall. Actually been bored a little bit movie-wise because not a lot has come out. It's been pretty much TV-heavy for the first quarter of the year.
Yeah, I've been, obviously, you know, X-Men 97, which will been getting into that. I think I'm, what, two episodes into the new Fallout show. I've only played, like, one of the games, so... Not super familiar with it, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. What else? Not the greatest news, but a movie I was greatly looking forward to had a trailer drop today. That was Transformers 1, and it's a kids movie. I know that, you know, people say, well, Transformers is for kids, and maybe, but the original movie was like an adult movie for kids. This looks like a kids movie for kids, and I was very disappointed because, I don't know, it just, it felt like they were, I don't know, everything I'd heard about this movie felt like it was going to be more serious, like the Netflix shows were kind of more for I don't know, at least teens, but, yeah, we're going with kids, so what a bummer. I don't have any kids, so I probably won't go see it. I don't know, but.
I think this was supposed to be under the slate of movies at the time when they thought that the franchise was just going to keep growing, and so they made all these plans for stuff. We were supposed to get some Bumblebee movie set during World War II or something stupid. It's probably just they realized that their best bet is just to hope that this G.I. Joe crossover does some good for them.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. That'll actually be so we reviewed the G.I. Joe movies, not the Transformers, as much as I would. Well, there's a couple I would like to review, some not. But yeah, I guess I'd have to review that if it came out in time. But we'll see. But today, we are here to review Black Adam, that came out October 21st, 2022. Let's see what was going on back then. So, number one song was Bad Habit by Steve Lacy. Our champions in wrestling. Only a couple changes this week. But we've got, of course, Roman Reigns ongoing. I finally put an end date next to his name, though, so I finally got that to look forward to. NXT, Jesus. Yeah, exactly. NXT was Braun Breaker. World's Women Champion Liv Morgan, WWE Women's Champion Bianca Belair, NXT Women Mandy Rose, AEW Champion. Actually, technically, this didn't change. It is Jon Moxley, but in between this and our last movie, which was Samaritan, CM Punk had a very quick reign before he got hurt, which seems to be happening a lot. AEW Women's Champion, this one's new, Toni Storm, not timeless yet, just normal. And then IWGP is Jay White. So there you go. As far as what was going on, so speaking of wrestling, in October of 2022, I attended an AEW show in Cincinnati. This was main evented by, Samoa Joe and Darby Allin for why am I forgetting the title? Not the Continental title, but the All Atlantic title, I guess, or that's what it was at the time, I think. But yeah, that was something. That was fun.
Did you enjoy yourself? Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, did that. That was my second AEW. They changed venues. They used to be at the University of Cincinnati basketball arena, and all the people that are like, oh, they need to run smaller venues. They need to run smaller venues. No, the Cincinnati basketball arena sucks. I hate it. It's in like the middle of nowhere. The seats are terrible. no, they don't need to run small. Like, it's not your money. What do you care? So no, they don't need to run small arenas when you have arenas like that. The one arena downtown, I forget the name of it, Heartland Bank, maybe. It was US Bank Arena, now it's something else. It's old. It's not great, but it's the seats, they're actual chairs. They're not like slabs of wood you sit on. So, yeah, no. And they have concession stand options other than chips, or I guess nachos, chips, and popcorn. Which was literally all Cincinnati had, the University of Cincinnati Arena. So no, don't run small arenas when that's the other small arena. Anyway, that's what I was up to. Let's see. Oh, history with this movie before I jump into the controversial budget and box office. I saw this movie in theaters one time, and that was it.
That is pretty much the exact same history I have with it. Saw it with my girlfriend the one time, and I was like, ah, well, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie that exists.
Yeah, it does exist. It's a movie that, you know, I'll credit Dwayne Johnson. He wanted to do this movie for forever, and he had these grandiose ideas for this character, and you can tell in the end credits, and I guess I'll jump into this part now. For some reason, and I never understood why, Dwayne Johnson did not want his character interacting with Shazam, even though it's a villain of Shazam in the comics, even though he gets his power by saying Shazam, even though the same wizards who granted Shazam his power, granted Black Adam his power, and even though in the end credits of Shazam they teased an extra chair for Black Adam, it all pointed to Black Adam versus Shazam, but Rock did not want to do that. That doesn't work for me, brother.
All I'm going to say is this movie is largely responsible for changing the vast majority of the opinions I have about The Rock. And keep in mind, he's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. And I wouldn't say he's my favorite actor, but he's good.
Yeah, he was big on this character. I mean, I don't know if you've seen there's a DC League of Super Pets, but Black Adam makes a cameo in that at the end credits scene. So, like, Rock was so ready for this character.
Well, I saw the clip, but I didn't really see the hype for all the reasons that you basically already said. It's like, well, this is a... Why am I seeing him interact with Superman? It's like, okay, they're just trying to promote the movie that's coming up. Okay, that's cool. That's not really a problem. And then the movie comes out. I was like, okay, so they're doing a separate thing with Black Adam? All right. Wait. The Justice the Society? Okay. It just a lot. They add a lot, except for the thing that you would expect them to add. It's essentially what happens if you go to a diner, you ask them for a burger. They're talking to you about their great cup of soup, their apple pie, their coffee, their chicken sandwich. He's like, but where do you have a burger? Well, we got some fries and we got this and stuff. Yeah, but do you have a burger? Well, we have other things. Jesus. It's like there's literally a glaring hole just at the sheer concept. Before I get too into it, I'm going to leave it with that. So for now, it's like a glaring hole of why isn't this here?
Well, I'm going to preface this joke because that's all best jokes do get prefaced. I just don't want to avoid confusion. Shazam's actual name is Captain Marvel, and I know there's a Marvel character named Captain Marvel. So just prefacing that. But Simon, it sounds like you're being a Captain Crybaby. We don't want to see Captain Marvel. The main story is Black Adam and Superman. It's not Captain Marvel. Don't be a Captain Crybaby. This is the main story. We're forcing it, even though they wear the same outfit.
It's almost like you're telling me to know my role, shut my mouth, and enjoy the ride that The Rock is taking me on.
Yes, enjoy the ride that Black Adam is taking you on. It's weird. He seemed... Look, this was a weird time in DC because James Gunn had just been appointed in charge, and a lot of the characters were still up in the air at this point, including Black Adam, and even Superman. We still didn't know what the fate of him would be. But, yeah, Rock had these grandiose plans to just be, we're going to do this big epic movie of Black Adam and Superman. And first rule of movies is they got to make money. And really, when this movie results came out, Rock pretty much lost all of his leverage. And that is why I think he'll probably never admit it, but that is why he had to go back to Vin Diesel and make nice and get his career back up and running. But speaking of the money, so the budget, $195 million, which is quite a lot. I don't usually report on marketing because I don't have those numbers. But in this case, I found them. $80 to $100 million on marketing. And this movie did get a ton of commercials. Everywhere you looked, there was Black Adam.
The hierarchy of power in the DC universe. It's about to change. I might have heard that maybe 100 times in a month.
Yeah. I think this even maybe... I don't know. Did this get a Super Bowl commercial? Like, maybe early in the year or something?
I can look it up right quick, but they might have stopped just short of that.
Yeah. Well...
I think they did do, like, a round robin of promotion for DC movies. They just talked about what was coming up.
Could be. So, box office, though... $393.5 million. So, on our stupid little chart, where we only have the most basic of numbers, this comes in at 74th, which is right below Batman Returns, and right above X-Men First Class at $198.5 million. It's 211.8 with the inflation. It's a lot of inflation for 2 years, but 74. Rock claims this movie did make money, but my opinion is when you have to tell people your movie made money, it did not. So
I've learned more and more about the movie business, and I'm not going to pretend like I know everything. What I've come to understand generally is a movie expected to make at the bare minimum at least 2.5 times whatever it was cost to make. So if you make a movie for $10 million, they want you to at least bring back...
like 25?
About 25. And that's on the low end. And keep in mind, a movie that costs $10 million bringing in 25 would still just be okay. And in the case, but in the case of DC, in particular, superhero movies and high budget films, sci-fi adventures, westerns, action, and all that other stuff, if you spent a lot of money, no one can. You want to see a way bigger return. A movie like this, they were probably expecting this to make at least a good 500 or six.
Yep.
And that would have been a fairly acceptable number. But we're not going to pretend like putting almost $200 million into a film is be about.
Yeah, and if you you're going
to
make
if you spend most of the money to make back a third, to make back $100 million, so half in theory.
Yeah, not ideal. And it's like, you know, I don't know. You can read people that say this movie lost money or, you know, whatever. Like I said, Rock says it made money. If you just take the budget and box office, yes, but then you factor in marketing, you factor in other things, it probably didn't. But then the other thing, if you wanted to do, I mean, look, if this movie made like $800 million or something, you know, let's just hypothetical, you got to think James Gunn would be like, okay, I hadn't thought about including Black Adam in my future plans, but sure, if he's going to bring in that much money, if audiences are that hyped for a Superman fight with Black Adam, sure. But when you, like I said earlier, when you don't make money, you lose all your leverage. And when the movie at best makes $100 million, which would be if the marketing was $100 million, you add that to the budget of $195, so $295, and then the box office was $393. So at best, you're looking at maybe $100 million, but probably not even that much. You got to think, okay, this was the first one. Sequels usually do worse, usually, so the next one, are we going to even break even at that point, is what you got to be thinking. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like that just lost all his leverage with that, and then it didn't sound like Rock really wanted to play with DC. He wanted to, like, take over DC, it sounded like, almost.
The sheer fact that he didn't want... Let's be perfectly honest. Every superhero tends to have their type of mirror or dark reflection. Superman, you could argue that a dark reflection of him might technically be Zod or Bizarro if you're feeling edgy. With Batman, probably closer to Ra's al Ghul. I believe Azrael can kind of fit that description a little bit. Red Hood especially. And there's definitive dark versions of characters. But you can't get any... The only person who is more famous for being a darker, eviler version of the character than Black Adam is to Shazam is the Reverse Flash to the Flash.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very strange that he was so anti, you know, this. I mean, it would be like... I don't know, I mean, like Marvel's making these Venom movies, right? Now, Venom is a much bigger character than Black Adam, and Spider-Man's a much bigger character than Shazam. But at some point, people are starting, and luckily they did add the teaser in there at the end of end credits of Venom, Let There Be Carnage. But people are like, when is Venom going to fight Spider-Man? When is it going to happen? Again, they added the teaser, and the symbiote is in the other dimension, whatever. So they're at least addressing it. But, like, in this, it's even more so where it's like, you made a Shazam villain. When is he going to fight, you know, Shazam? And it's like, no, he's fighting Superman. It's like, then maybe you should have made a Darkseid movie or a Bizarro movie or... I don't know, Red Sun, make that a live-action movie. That actually could have been cool. I don't know, but this, I don't know. I don't know. Rock just had his own idea, I guess.
Exactly.
But let us jump into the cast. It's a pretty insane cast. So, this is a guy I never thought we would see on the hero cast. Pierce Brosnan as Kent Nelson, Dr. Fate. Old 007. Yeah, what'd you think? Because I have some thoughts.
These two... I'll just start with him since you brought him up. Great performance. Fantastic. Though I do have to admit, when I wrote... As I was writing down the characters as they were being introduced, I made the mistake of writing down Dr. Strange instead of Dr. Fate. So, there was that.
There's a lot of crossover, and we just mentioned Captain Marvel, so...
But, yeah, I thought he did a really good job. I was interested in his character and the overall direction. That costume, wow. It's crazy. Considering all we know about The Rock and how his ego kind of took over, I'm surprised he let a costume like that look better than his.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I purposely left this out. When I was done watching Black Adam, one of the first things I did is I went to the library and got a graphic novel of Dr. Fate because I'm like, I want to know more about this character. And another friend of mine, Adam, who's been on the podcast, who'll be on a few months from now, but he told me all about Dr. Fate. I read I forget the character. It was a different. It wasn't Kent. It was not. Kent Nelson. It was someone else being Dr. Fate. It was I forget. It was like I said, a year and a half ago since I read it. But it was like a Middle Eastern family, or maybe it was India. I don't remember. But I remember there being like rain. It was like 40 days of rain or something. But it was interesting. I wish I remembered it more. But I really liked the Pierce Brosnan. He looks, we've seen him as James Bond, so we know that he has that, superhero look, and I like that they purposely said, he's old, but you know what, he can still get it done, and with what his character did, it's like, yeah, it's believable that an old guy could do all this, so, I have some other thoughts, but I'll save that for the end, but, I found him to be the most intriguing character in the movie, quite honestly. So, and we have Aldous Hodge as Hawkman, leader of the Justice Society, Carter Hall, Hawkman.
Yeah, so I really liked his character. The only thing is the Hawkman, Hawkgirl lore is kind of confusing. It's not a discredit to him because he was the other really compelling character in this movie that worked for me. It's more so the fact that I got a little bit confused. I was like, wait, what's the lore of this guy again? Because I'm pretty sure there's like two versions of him. One that reincarnates and another who just assumed the identity, I think.
Not super sure, honestly. I don't know a whole lot about Hawkman. My exposure is probably this movie. But I, too, enjoyed Aldous Hodge as Hawkman. I like the relationship with him and Dr. Fate. It felt like they really were lifelong friends, and I could see a scenario where Dr. Fate was the leader of the Justice Society and then mentored Hawkman and then eventually brought him in, and now he's the leader, and now we've got Cyclone and Atom Smasher as well, who are just kind of there.
All I'll say is a lot of the stuff they had him wearing in this movie, call me crazy, but it was really good. It was a really strong advertisement for him to be recast as T'Challa, if you ask me.
Well, we'll have some thoughts on that next. Well, either next week or a week after. I'll break that down later. But, the villain really wasn't in this movie a whole lot. I will just say, and he doesn't really do anything until he becomes the demon. So, All I'll say is I liked the demon, Sabacc, as the villain. It's tough when you have these Superman-esque type characters where nothing hurts them. I'm always kind of bored with that. So Superman, of course, Captain Marvel, Black Adam. So the villain is really important in those kind of movies to me. And as we've seen, I mean, some Superman movies it works, some it doesn't. Captain Marvel with Jude Law, it didn't work at all. He posed no threat at all. So you got to have a villain who can take on this person who bullets do no harm and explosions do no harm, and they can go super fast and all these, you know, insane powers. So, yeah, I thought, he's a demon from hell or something. So, sure, it worked for me. I was fine with it.
It's kind of crazy how it never occurred to me to look up who Sabacc was, because I almost thought that they made him up for this movie, but he's actually somebody who's been in the comics. He's a quite rare character to appear in the comics. He's only had like four or five iterations, including the one that was in the movie. So they literally pulled him out of nowhere, and Sabacc says his name is given the strength of Satan, AYM, Belial, Beelzebub, Asmodeus, and Kratos. I probably messed up half of that. But okay, so every one of these guys has their own gimmick for their names, which is interesting. But yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it, but not impressed.
No, I mean, he himself is kind of forgettable, but I think at least he posed... I guess I should clarify. He himself, at least, he's forgettable, but he at least posed a threat, I guess, is what I should have said. Never did I think that Black Adam was going to lose, but he did pose a threat, whereas, like, a Jude Law clearly did not. Or, who was Nuclear Man in Superman 4 did not. Or, some of the, some of those early Supermen. Superman 3 was, that one was rough with, what's his name? The comedian who set himself on fire by mistake. But anyway, they had a supercomputer and that sucked also. So, yeah, then there was the kid. I don't really have much thoughts on the kid.
He sucked. I have plenty of thoughts on him. This is basically Fred. He stole, copied word for word, bar for bar, the entire character of Freddie Freeman from Shazam. This was nothing but copied and pasted that. There was nothing unique about him. He's just another guy who's super obsessed about heroes. Talks about him in the exact same way. This, oh my God, you can do this. Oh my God, you can do that. It got annoying within goddamn 20 minutes.
Richard Pryor, that was it. But yes, it's you're right. And it's funny, the movie I did last week, Samaritan, that character was similar too. It was, he's obsessed, a kid obsessed with superheroes. Now, at least this kid in Samaritan would, like, commit crimes because he fell in with the wrong crowd and he would, like, help rob convenience stores. So he had a bit of an edge to him. And then, yeah, I was like, okay, that's a little bit different than your typical, like, oh, wow, superheroes are real. But, yeah, no, you're right. He really was basically the kid from Shazam. It's almost as if Shazam and Black Adam should fight.
You would think.
Oh, I almost forgot. Critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 38%. Fans, much higher, 88%. One of the higher discrepancies we've had. 50 whole points. Rock has a lot of fans, I guess. But yeah. Oh, and I also forgot the plugs. EC_hero on Twitter. ECHeroCast on Instagram. And then EddieC85 on both for me. I guess... Main event, the final boss, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, as Black Adam.
Yeah, this might catch some more flack, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is one of his least interesting acting performances to me. I feel like there's a definitive level of range and emotion that should have came with the story beats they were trying to include that I never really saw. Like, there's clear parts where any other person would be crying or look, or at the very least, look upset. He looks more irritated. It's kind of what I describe as Henry Cavill suit syndrome. It was like, oh my God, something horrible happened to you, or something horrible happened around you. And instead of looking sad or like you're in a state of panic, you just look mildly annoyed, like, ah, damn it, I forgot to turn the AC off before I left.
I was gonna save this for the end, but I will say it now. I think when you left the theater, your intent, I think when you left the theater, The Rock wanted you to be super excited for a Black Adam Superman matchup. And when I left the theater, I was like, man, you know what movie I want to see? A prequel to the Justice Society. Like, I want to see Hawkman and Dr. Fate and them fighting crime all throughout the 90s and early 2000s, forming this group. That's what I wanted to see. And I was more intrigued with them in this movie, honestly. And I think a lot of it, in a way, Black Adam is kind of the worst part of this movie. He's extremely powerful to the point where four members of the Justice Society can't even come close to stopping him. And like you said, it's a very much lack of emotion. I mean, he wakes up, like 5,000 years into the future. And he's like, yeah, okay, here I am. Like, he's not even curious about anything at all. Like, it's like when he died and went away, this, they said it was before the pyramids, right? Didn't they say that?
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
Okay, so you went from the most common form of transportation was like a horse or a camel, and now you wake up and here we're in the distant future, I guess, where there's like these Star Wars speeder bikes that can teleport through matter, I guess. And you're just like, eh, okay. Like, you're not curious about any of these things? And I don't know.
I would certainly have questions if I was put in prison or sealed away in Kondak and woke up in Wakanda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, let's get into it. So we open in Kondak, which is the DC Wakanda, I guess. It is 2600 BC, or maybe it was 26,000. I don't know. I didn't want to rewind it. But basically, Kondak is the capital of the world, much like Cairo was back in the day, where that's kind of where civilization began. Anyway, it's ruled by this evil king named Okton. And he needs this dark crystal for his crown to make him all powerful. And some old man finds it. A guard kills him in front of another slave and says, who we think is Adam. And he's, you know, because the old man asked for a war and he just killed him instead. And then the other slave is, takes the crystal back. And he's about to be killed because he starts this uprising, which, it's so funny. I watched part of this movie last night and part of it today because I didn't have enough time. But old friend of the show, Caleb, in our group chat sent a meme about the wall, like from that stupid skit on Nitro where the wall was like 5 miles away on top of a building and Hogan can just see him. When I watched this last night, that was my thought. When this kid holds up the triangle and he's like on top of this cliff, and all these slaves are down below in, like, this quarry. And they all just look up at him and do the same sign. Like, there's no way any of you can see what he's doing. There's no way any of you would even, like, notice this guy. And I was like, this is just like Hogan and the Wall. And then Caleb sends the meme of the Wall. I'm like, okay, I gotta mention the Wall. So, shout out Wall. Anyway, the king's about to kill Adam, question mark. And he is transported away and given the powers of Shazam by the great wizards, the same one who gave Shazam his power. But don't be... Not to bring this back up, didn't The Rock, like, scoff at the idea of fighting Shazam? He's like, that character is just not serious.
Yeah, to which the actor for Shazam basically said, guys, it's make-believe.
Yeah, Zach Levy. Yeah, it's make-believe, and you are literally a Shazam villain, so maybe you should have reconsidered that. I don't know. You could have been Bane. Do a Bane movie. You could fight Batman, and that would work. Brock's huge.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could have been Lex Luthor, for Christ's sakes.
Could have been Lex
Luthor. There's iterations of him that they get muscular and always scowling, never seem to be in a good mood.
Yeah, you could do a lot. Instead, you picked a villain who you had no intention of facing the hero. So, King Octon gets the crown as the champion, which is calling him the champion, comes back, the two battle, castle crumbles, nobody saw the champion ever again. This is very similar to Samaritan, where he and his brother battled and then both of them disappeared forever. Weird. So, in modern day Khandaq, it's a Middle Eastern country, I guess the only thing futuristic about it is some of the tech is futuristic, and then these Star Wars speeder ships are very much don't exist right now. But they mention how it's under, like, mercenary control and this, that. So we meet Adriana, who's an archaeologist, looking for the crown with her team of her brother Kareem, Ishmael, and the not-too-long-for-this-world Samir. So mercenaries break in, they kill Samir, RIP to a real one. And they steal the crown right after she found it. And that's always how it goes. But Adriana does the Shazam summon. Even says Shazam in the summon. And in comes the champion. The people's champion. He's got Muhammad Ali's belt to prove it. And he kills all the mercenaries with ease. It's pretty cool, I must say.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, the fight scenes in this are all really fun. Like, The Rock just killing people. It's very cool.
That's definitely the strong points of this movie. I will say, though, there were some minor things that bothered me. The first one is that music when Black Adam popped out sounded very similar to Iron Man. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum. It's like, okay, you just stole that one. The other thing is, they spent so much time holding back on showing you The Rock's full face. But he goes outside, and the first thing you see is his face directly. It's like there was no build-up to the reveal. Yes, we all knew that The Rock was going to play Black Adam. Of course, he's on the cover. He's on the poster and everything else. But there's like some basic elements of just cinematography that are just being ignored here. The immediate next cut to him leaving the building after never having his face shown is just a generic shot of his face. It's lame.
Yeah, he's wearing some weird hood for some reason. So they call reinforcements, helicopter, tanks, more soldiers, doesn't matter. Kills them all. But there's one thing that does do damage. One of the rockets fired says Ethereum, which was supposed to be the crystal that the old man in the beginning of the movie found. And that does do some damage to Black Adam. Sorry, just Adam right now. Adam Tith. So, back in the cave, Ishmael, he's not dead. I don't think I mentioned that. But yeah, they thought they killed him. But he's alive, and he's actually a traitor. He tells the people he knows who has the crown. Then we cut to Carter Hall in Louisiana. Hawkman, apparently doing well for himself. He's got big estate. He's talking with Amanda Waller, who I love Viola Davis's portrayal of Amanda Waller, but I don't understand the character of Amanda Waller. Like, when we last saw her in the Suicide Squad, she was completely unhinged and had to be attacked by her own team because she was trying to... She just completely lost it. And now she's just back in power as if nothing happened. She just switches. She's like she's like the Big Show. She's face and heel turns all the time. We don't know what she is.
Did Peacemaker come out in 2022?
Oh, the show? Yes.
Before or after this movie?
Oh man, I want to say before.
Well, if that's the case, then she should be outed as a government agent conspiring to just send people to die. So there's even less to understand. This entire setup with the I'm gonna wait until we introduce all the characters before I go into this. But so go ahead.
Yeah, January 2022.
Oh God,
Peacemaker. Which we'll kind of sort of touch on in another movie that we'll do down the road.
That poor man.
Anyway, I lost my notes here. Okay, so... Yeah, so Amanda Waller. So we, you know, I guess she's good this week. So she tells Hawkman, hey, we need you to track this guy down. He's a big threat. And need a team. And DC loves to do this, where they like, who's your team? And then they just cut to a person, give a brief description of them, and then like move on. It happened in the Suicide Squads. DC is just a big fan of this. So we get our introductions. We have Maxine Hunkel, a.k.a. Cyclone. She can manipulate wind and create tornadoes and stuff. She didn't do a whole lot in the movie. We have Albert Rothstein, a.k.a. Adam Smasher. He could turn into a giant. He had some good moments, but overall, he was mostly just used to be knocked over, and when he fell down, caused a lot of damage. And then Kent Nelson as Dr. Fate, who has near-god-level powers thanks to a helmet from an alien planet. But don't touch the helmet, by the way. They make that very clear. But yes, he is clearly the MVP of this movie. He and Hawkman, I love them. But Dr. Fate probably gets the nod just for the costume being so cool. Not that Hawkman's isn't, but...
Exactly.
Dr. Fate's just looks cooler. And Pierce Brosnan. I mean, he's like the coolest, so... So they are the Justice Society. They all arrive at Hawkman's resort. And they head to Kondak, and we learn if Adam just says Shazam, he'll lose his power, much like Shazam.
Okay, this is a good time for me to interject, because this movie's world building has massive problems, just from that scene alone. Let's get started. So initially, I had assumed that all this stuff had happened in some type of other world, or maybe it was during a time period. I had to do a lot of headcanon to even possibly consider how this would potentially fit into the DCEU, because I was going to name the apocalyptic level events that we know about so far. The Battle of Metropolis, where the Kryptonians are threatening to take over the world. The Suicide Squad, with them trying to take over the world as well, the witch trying to take over the world. The release of Doomsday, who just could destroy the world. What's his name? Steppenwolf, with the mother boxes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just the four from straight from the Snyder land people. Four apocalyptic level events. And in theory, if we want to include Wonder Woman 1984 and probably a few other movies that had high stakes that I'm forgetting, a multitude of apocalyptic level events. Where in the hell was the goddamn Justice Society? And how the hell is Superman the first known superhero in the entire universe, or metahuman, if... Okay, maybe Dr. Fate erases people's memories or he moves in quick enough. People are going to remember a goddamn Birdman and a person who grows big. this is why I found it so funny when certain people, once this movie fell out of favor, some people in the Snyder cult fan base decided to include this in the series of movies that could be made if the Snyderverse was restored. To which my immediate response was, how the hell is that even possible? This movie makes the universe make even less sense. Of all the movies that came before and after, this is the one that did the most damage. I can't even fathom how any of this makes sense. More importantly, why is Amanda Waller having a direct connection to the Justice Society? Why isn't the Justice Society just the Justice League? You're making the world more convoluted than it needs to be. What was the plan here to lead up to a Justice League versus Justice Society a movie? I'm so confused, and so was everyone else who even spent 2 seconds thinking about it. This was dumb.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, it's at least Eternals, as much as I thought it was lazy, at least they gave the explanation. Well, we couldn't fight Thanos because, you know, we only fight these guys. I didn't like the explanation, but at least they offered one. Yeah, I mean, you could argue that, well, the Justice Society is just for, you know, smaller threats, like the Defenders was in the Netflix show, to which I would say, okay, I'll buy that, but apparently Black Adam is this massive threat, so why are we sending the B-team to go after them? Like, I don't understand that, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I guess we could have just crammed more cameos into the Snyder Cut. Yeah, like I said, if Adam says Shazam, he'll lose his power. Meanwhile, the champion, Teth Adam, awakens in Amon's room. And Amon is Adriana's teenage son who loves superheroes. And Amon tells him he needs a better name and how to use catchphrases. Anyway, the mercenaries show up. They hassle Amon and Adam kills them. Justice Society shows up. They battle Adam. It's a pretty good battle. Good effort. But Adam takes out Adam Smasher, he flies off, Aquaman confronts Adriana about the crown, and she tells him, basically, hey, you guys, this part I enjoyed. Because she's like, hey, you know, you guys patrol the rest of the world, but you don't ever see Superman come here, nobody cares about Kondok, and now we have our own hero. Okay, I liked that. I liked that where they're like, hey, we've been under control of these, you know, people, and, you know, where's Superman? He's off, you know, doing other stuff, saving the rich city, so we got our own hero now. So I enjoyed that little wrinkle that they added in here. And Hawkman says, you know, Adam is not who you think he is. His rage nearly destroyed Kondok. So Adriana goes to talk to Adam, asks him about all this, and if the Council of Wizards deemed him unworthy of the gift he was given. And Adriana, getting Sopranos confused, says, I didn't wake you up from a sleep. I let you out of your prison, didn't I? And, yeah, that's the big reveal. Well, one of the big reveals, I guess. So, Adriana wants Adam to talk to the Justice Society, and he agrees. And back at him... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, really, it's really interesting that she, earlier in the movie, Black Adam's giving her son a lesson in how to be a violent jackass. And so she's like, I don't want you teaching violence to my son. But she steps out into the real world. The Justice Society's like, hey, Black Adam, calm down. You can't be doing all this. And she's like, whoa, hold on. He's the somebody who's actually doing something. Where were you guys? That's a really interesting moral line to walk when you clearly don't like elements of the guy.
No, that's true. Well, he's not perfect, but he's our hero, damn it. I don't know.
Not the hero we need, but the hero that we deserve. Is that the phrase?
Yes. So, back at Amon's house, Ishmael has showed up and tries to steal the crown. He shoots Karim, and Amon gets the crown, hides it somewhere, then runs off, calls his mom, who's at the temple talking with the Justice Society. Adam hears this. He rushes off to save Amon. Adam shows up, quickly kills all the guys who were chasing Amon. Ishmael then kidnaps Amon on one of the speeder bikes, and we get Adam flying through the streets, chasing after the speeder bikes, seeing which one has him, because there's like five or six, and there's like a little trunk in the speeder bikes, and you have to rip it open to see. I guess he doesn't have the X-ray vision Superman has. So, Justice Society shows up, and Hawkman is trying to tell Adam not to kill people. Hawkman actually can see, because he has infrared vision. So, that's helpful. Meanwhile, Dr. Fate shows up at the apartment. He tells Karim he's not going to die, but stay away from electricity, which is funny, because Karim's an electrician.
Yeah, it's one of the few jokes that lands, because I would say half this movie is a good joke landing, and the other half is a joke just bombing.
I did enjoy, there's a scene where Amon tells Adam to, his catchphrase should be, tell him the man in black sent you, and he keeps getting it wrong, which, okay, not super funny, but then it's like, he drops a guy who's, he's not dead yet, but he's like, tell him the man in black, and then he's dying, like, oh, screw it, never mind. I laughed at that. That was funny. Because he killed him, then says, tell him the man in black. He's like, no, say it before they're dead. And then he says it before they're dead, but it was as he was dying, so it didn't... Whatever. So yeah, stay away from electricity. Hawkman does manage to capture two of the soldiers, and they ask where Amon is. And Adam is like, okay, I'll do this. So he takes them both up really, really high, and he's like, where's Amon? The first one to answer, I'll drop the other one, which I actually kind of thought was a pretty good interrogation tactic.
That is definitely a good interrogation tactic.
Yeah, it's like a game of chicken, and I would have given up Amon's location immediately, but he ends up dropping them both, and I liked Hawkman was like, oh, for crying out loud. So he saves them both. And he's upset. He's like, you know, why are you saving these guys? You know, they're just going to do more harm. And so they decide we're basically going to storm the base where the villains are, you know, because there is a fight between Adam and
over the
Hawkman.
One of the dumbest things, too.
Yeah.
Like, heroes don't kill people. Well, I do. Hawkman. Maybe in whatever parallel universe you existed in before this movie happened, heroes don't kill people. I'm just going to name all the heroes I know from these series of movies who haven't killed people. Cyborg. That's the list.
Hawkman's quite the Boy Scout. He's just guys. like Adam's just killing these people. And he's like, these men need to stand trial.
If they were going to do this already, they should have just had Hawkman be Superman. And if you got, this is a cinematic universe where the first movie ends with Superman snapping a guy's neck.
Yeah, but he didn't want to.
Doesn't matter. He still did it. The time for moral debate is done. You lost that deadline. You missed that deadline. Because the next movie's like, okay, Batman, he's the guy who never kills. So we can, nope, Batman's a killer too. It's over. Stop it. This is a stupid discussion. Especially with in a universe where damn near everybody kills. Wonder Woman blew a guy up with her gauntlets. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Even Dark Knight. I think Batman only killed like one or two people in that.
In Dark, well, if you count the Christopher Nolan trilogy.
Yeah. I think he kills
once a movie, technically.
Yeah. The only one I remember specifically was the truck driver at the end. The truck with the bomb in it. They blow up the road, and the truck driver is just sitting in there dead with Talia, who's barely alive. I guess he technically killed her, too. anyway, where was I? Completely different movie. So yeah, they're gonna just... Oh, they find the crown in Amon's room when they were fighting, and they're gonna storm the base with the villains. So Ishmael wants to trade Amon for the crown, and Adriana wants to make the trade, and Adam supports this, but the Justice Society do not. But Adam's like, hey, not your son, not your country. It's not your call. So Ishmael puts the crown on, shoots him on, but Adam flies in and blocks the bullet and then just fries everyone, including Ishmael. So he's dead. And Hawkman confronts him about, and he's like, hey, you know, what was they talking about? You were crying when so-and-so died. I forget his name, but it doesn't matter. And turns out that the person who led the revolution, the guy who was on the cliff, who was the Wall Brother, who did the hand sign, that was not Adam. That was his son. His son was the champion. And the king knew this, and he killed Adam's wife and nearly killed Adam. But Adam's son saved him by giving him his powers. You'll never guess. He said Shazam and gave it to him. But not a Shazam character. So Adam's son is then immediately killed, and this is why Adam is evil. So, and after telling the story, Adam says, Shazam, and gives up the power and turns himself into the Justice Society. They imprison Adam in suspended animation where he cannot speak to say Shazam to bring his powers in. And Dr. Fate, on the way there, he tells Hawkman, you know, I've seen a... something real bad in the future, and Hawkman, you're gonna die. But he doesn't want that to happen, but it's what he sees.
I just want to start out by saying Black Adam giving up and just putting himself in prison is so not a thing Black Adam would do. I'm not an avid reader of Black Adam comics, but the very little I know about that man, surrender is not in his vocabulary. Secondly, him giving up just feels like a plot obligated thing, like the less of a character decision that made sense given the context and everything, but more so a situation like, I'm not a hero. I suck, guys. I'm gonna go away. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, I guess he figured his mission was over. He killed Ishmael. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Whatever. So they imprisoned him. And, you know, Hawkman gets the bad news that he's going to be killed soon. Later on, Adriana realizes that... Wait a minute. Ishmael got killed on purpose, so that he could be sent to hell, so that they could make him their champion and take over Earth, and, you know, which they do. So Ishmael's down in hell. They said, you're our champion, say the word, and he says, Shazam, and Ishmael turns into Sabacc, this big, angry-looking demon who looks like Ifrit from Final Fantasy. So the Justice Society go after him, but they are not strong enough to defeat him. Dr. Fate goes after Sabacc solo. He locks out the other three members, and I liked this scene a lot, because, again, I felt like Hawkman and Dr. Fate were good friends, and it feels like there's more of a story there, and I'd be more interested in seeing it than I would have been a Black Adam Superman movie. But Dr. Fate's like, yep, I did see your death, Hawkman, but I couldn't let my friend die, because I also saw a way to save you. And right now, for the first time, I'm looking to the future, and I don't see anything, and it's great. Probably my favorite scene in the movie, honestly. And then you have Hawkman just banging on the barrier with his mace, can't get in. So Dr. Fate goes it alone. He's also awakening Adam, tells him he could destroy the world, or he can save it. So, back with Sabacc, he finally sits on the throne. Dr. Fate does pretty good against him. He's got all of his holograms attacking him, and he's subduing him a little bit, but eventually Sabacc gets the better, and he kills Dr. Fate. Sad. All right. I wasted my RIP to a real one. Damn it. Anyway, so Adam and Hawkman, they do show up. But again, Sabacc just too powerful for these guys. And where did I lose myself in my notes? Oh yeah, so Sabacc finally sits on the throne of Khandaq. And Hawkman, he comes in and he impales Sabacc with his weapon, but then Sabacc turns around and kills Hawkman. Or does he? No, he doesn't. It was a hologram. Hawkman is now holding the helmet, the one you're not supposed to touch. He's like, an old friend taught me this. And all these Hawkman holograms and Black Adam, or sorry, he's just Adam still, they eventually are able to kill Sabacc. We finally get the running gag where Adam tells him, tell him the Man in Black sent you, before ripping Sabacc in two pieces. Very Mortal Kombat fatality-esque. And at one point, Adam has a new suit. I don't know where, when that happened. Maybe it was...
When he said Shazam the last time, when he escaped.
I only noticed till after he killed Sabacc, but yes, he has a much cleaner suit. Pretty much Shazam, Captain Marvel's suit, without any of the, you know, the dirt and wear and tear that the old one had. It's just black and gold, but can't fight him. No, no. So, Dr. Fate's helmet vanishes. They both say, oh, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. Justice Society take off. Adam sits on the throne. They're like, how's it feel? He's like, oh, this feels wrong. He destroys the throne. And then Adam says, you know, Khandaq has heroes, because there was also a thing where all the townspeople fought these skeletons or whatever. He's like, you know, Khandaq has heroes and heals, but needs a protector. And they say, thank you, Adam Teth. And they're like, he's like, Adam says, you know, that name is a little old-fashioned. And he's like, what shall we call you? Roll credits where the big Black Adam logo appears. Ha ha. So
yeah, way to take a thing that, way to take something from Fant4Stick. Congratulations.
I was going to say they did that in Fantastic Four. Mid-credit scene, how about this? The podcast just cannot stop coinciding with actual events in real life. As we record this on April 18th, today is the 86th anniversary of the creation of Superman. How about that? Huh. And on Superman's 86th birthday, he will be in our mid-credit scene. So, computer drone thing flies in. It's Amanda Waller on the hologram. Says, Black Adam. So he's got the name now. Says, this is your only warning. You won't stay in my prison. Well, Khandaq is your prison now. You step one foot outside and you'll be sorry. And then Black Adam says, there's nobody on this planet who could stop me. And then she says, well, I'll just have to get someone from another planet. And he's like, well, bring them all. And in comes Superman. And This was The Rock meets Hulk Hogan in the middle of the ring, and everybody's chanting, you know, this is awesome, and holy shit, and all this. This was the build to WrestleMania 18, I think, in Dwayne's mind. In reality, it was really just an end credit scene that will go nowhere. So, Henry Cavill, in his final appearance as Superman, says, Black Adam. It's been a long time since anyone has made the world this nervous. We should talk. And Henry Cavill goes out like that.
The end. The last time we see Henry Cavill, he's basically pulling the Super Mario Brothers. Yeah. Hey guys, you ready to see what we do next? You do nothing next. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, that was Black Adam. You know, The Rock's passion project, it didn't quite take off the way he wanted it to. But well, what do we give Black Adam? Time to grade.
Well, the good things about this movie were the action, the music, and the acting from the two secondary characters in Hawkman and Dr. Fate. On the other hand, this had an extremely predictable plot. It had random humor that either landed or didn't. There was really ever like the stuff that landed really felt out of place. As some people like to have compared some of the other DC movies to the MCU, this, in my opinion, felt the most like trying to grasp at the straws or whatever the MCU was doing at the time, or when at the height of their popularity. Immense contradictions with world building, Jesus Christ. I already went over that, so I'm not going to touch that again. But one of the other things that I didn't really mention as much that really bothered me was the homages that felt less like homages and more like straight up ripoffs. So, for example, Hawkman's estate with a plane that comes up from the ground as the courtyard area splits open and the plane rises from the ground. Definitely from the X-Men. The slow motion detail, watching the intricate details of a man utilizing all these weapons and attacks in a fight. X-Men Days of Future Past and every other film that Pietro appeared in. The Iron Man-esque music. Basically the Wakandan-looking technology.
Paint It Black was the big one that they did.
The random insertions of popular music. There's so many things that just feel like straight-up ripoffs of other films. To the point where it's like, oh, let's have a big CGI fest with an evil with the evil version of the character, which doesn't make sense, because Black Adam is the evil version of Black Adam. He's not an anti-hero. He's a goddamn villain. This is so stupid. Red Hood was an anti-hero, or maybe the phrase is anti-villain. In his case, he's somebody who did morally great things but had a moral purpose to him. Everything Black Adam does in his entirety of his history of a character is because it's for Black Adam. And this movie failed to grasp that basic concept. And I think the thing that really irritates me the most, and I already alluded to it earlier, well, I didn't allude to it, I talked about it, was this whole heroes don't kill people thing, which is a stupid thing to bring up in universe, because we know for a fact every hero that's been on screen is killed. Why would you even tell us that? Why are you attempting to have this moral debate that nobody believes in? Or even if they do believe in it, it's the wrong universe to have it in. This is every other superhero movie I've ever seen before, just with some better action than most. 5 out of 10. I almost fell asleep watching this.
Ooh, brutal. I'll say I probably enjoyed it a little bit more. This probably should have come out in the summer. Like, for a summer blockbuster popcorn movie, it's fine. Like, if that's what you want, you just want to go and be entertained by... And again, the CGI is fine. Didn't blow me away. Costumes, at least, were pretty good. Even Black Adam's costume wasn't too bad. The action was good. You know... The fight scenes, all that was pretty good. The villain at the end, forgettable, but you know, he looked good, I guess. I'll go 6.5 out of 10. The Rock's, which is weird because he's full of charisma, but he does not show that in this movie. That was kind of a downgrade. And I'm trying not to. Factor in the fact that Shazam should obviously be the villain that this guy is facing, But it's impossible. The Rock, look, you don't have to go, when you make a movie, you don't have to do everything according to the source material, like, point for point. You can be flexible a little bit. But this is, man, this one's a little different. I mean, you're making a kind of an obscure villain. Like, Shazam's not a major character. And you're taking one of his villains who dresses exactly like him, who says the exact same words to get his powers, who they already kind of teased in a post-credit scene where they're like, oh, who's that other chair for? I don't know. It just kind of drove me crazy where it's like, I don't know. Like, if Shazam, or Captain Marvel, I guess, was in the Justice Society, I don't know, maybe that would have made the movie a little bit better. I don't know. Where it's like, you know, hey, Zachary Levi, this guy is just like you. Can you help this team I have? You know, maybe you could do something a little bit with that. But apparently Rock didn't want anything to do with that character, which is weird because it's like you're literally an evil version of that character. So I don't know. I couldn't get over that part. It just drove me crazy. But, yeah, 6.5 out of 10. If you're looking for a great movie, no. If you're looking to just be mildly entertained for a bit, rainy day, popcorn movie, it's fine. It's fine for that. There you go. Black Adam. The Rock's attempt at a superhero movie. It's crazy. DC League of Super Pets, I gave it 7.5 to. So that was better than this, apparently.
This isn't the worst. At the time, I didn't say this was the worst movie that came out, and I still don't believe that. But it's definitely a movie that this is on the level of. It's kind of funny that he made the comparison to Captain America, the First Avenger, when talking about how hey guys, when a movie first comes out, you got to take time, and not every movie is gonna make $1 billion stuff. This movie is more comparable to Thor 2, and I'm just gonna briefly look up how much more money Thor 2 made than this.
Oh, tons. Well, while you look that up, I got to explain to the listeners. So, I should thank Simon for being available on this Thursday. I had a very small window when I could record, and we were able to get this one in. I don't know about next week. We'll see. If there is an episode, then, hey, I would manage to do it. But I'll be out of town, and I'll be doing wedding planning, and it's just a million things. But I'll try, but I can't promise. So if there's a best of next week, then that is why. But if there is not a best of next week, then, hey, you'll know that I managed to pull it off. But I alluded to it. Went from Black Adam to Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Mm. So that'll be next week. Should have a guest. We'll see. Again, scheduling is going to be crazy next week, but and then I'll just finish off 2022 because there's only one other movie. It is, you can blame Caleb for this one, Violent Night, the Santa Claus movie. But his point was, he added this when he was on the show. I think he just wanted to review it. But his point was, it's a guy with superpowers who stops criminals. I said, damn, you're right. I'll add it. So that'll wrap up 2022, and then we'll get into last year, which has way more movies than you would think, but that'll be in a few weeks. But yes, next week, Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Of course, it's on Disney Plus. Now, you had the Thor box office, or should I look that up?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
So I believe you said earlier that Black Adam made approximately about, what, 300 or so?
Yeah, if you're just looking at box office, Black Adam was $393.5 million.
Well, Thor 2 in 2013 made $640. Mm. Congratulations.
Well, that's more. Yeah, like I said, this was, this is right below Batman Returns. But the when you adjust the inflation, Batman Returns crushed this, and then right above X-Men First Class. So, other movies in that, I mean, like I said, this was 74. Other movies in that vicinity, I mean, X-Men, but, you know, that was 2000. People really didn't know about superhero movies yet. 76 was Megamind, so there you go. And then 77 was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which, again, the inflation blew it away. Which, by the way, going back to Transformers 1, there is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles R-rated movie apparently in the works. So, that's cool. yeah. Unbreakable, that was another movie. That's, yeah. This is in, like, the box office vicinity of Unbreakable. So, which actually also did better than it with inflation, but not a significant amount better. Let's see, what else? Oh, Rise of the Silver Surfer, yeah. Okay, well, we'll get out of here on a quote. We've dropped the quote a couple times, but I had to do it, because I always, when we have a guest, we got to do a two-person quote. I don't even have to tell you what it is, because you'll know it. I will start off. This is Hawkman and Black Adam. Heroes don't kill people.
Well, I do.
Middle East women and Middle East bread. I got oil well money in the desert playing golf. Dolce shorts, dashiki with a Louis scarf. Chest cold, diamonds make us wanna call. In Dubai, 20 million on a fella loft. And then I step up in the club and then he's up and up. Man, this shit, the way I make the people want to sing the hook in Arabic.
La, 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 holla, hilly, holla. Hilly, balla, hey, hilly, holla. We getting there.
Star hotels, made back movies, sick, big, knock me, camel toe. Women walk around while security on camelback, club on fire now. Don't know how to act, sitting in casinos while I'm gambling with Arafat. Money long, watch me purchase pieces of the almanac. Y'all already know I got the streets buzzing while I make it bow down, it makes a lot like a Muslim. See, now I take trips to Baghdad, dummy. Wow, use that chips to count Arab money now. I don't need to get fresh about the grow beer, dope. So much cake, even the money look weird, too. Domestic bread and abroad, I'm trying to eat like Prince Al-Wali, Bin Talal Al-Saud. They respect the value of my worth in Maui, Malaysia, Iran, and Iraq, Saudi Arabia.
La, 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 holla, holla, holla.